If you have your Bibles, I want you to go to the book of Luke. To the book of Luke. Can anybody relate to the image that's on the screen in front of you? It's that time of year. Have any of y'all witnessed the Easter crocuses coming up? The little crocus flowers and little Easter lilies? I haven't heard them myself, but I even heard that some people call them peepers. I don't know what frogs or whatever you call them, that they're already chirping. Don't you just love the sounds of spring? Don't you love the sight of spring? If anybody that don't love spring, tell me. I'll pray for you. Okay, no, I'm just kidding. I love spring. I love fall, but, you know, the only bad thing about fall is winter follows it. Winter is coming to a close. It's not a prophetic word, but I am predicting we will get one more snow, but spring is on the way. But this morning, as you turn your scripture, turn your Bibles, or go with your device, your phone, to Luke chapter 13, I want to read this short verse of scripture to you. And then we're going to be flipping over a few pages, to your right into 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Luke 13. Jesus asked a question. What is the kingdom of God like? What shall I compare it to? He said, it's like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his garden. Now, I'm not going to read the entirety of that verse. I'm just going to stop there. He compares the kingdom of God out of all the things in the world that he could compare the kingdom of God to. And hopefully you understand and realize how vast the kingdom of God is. But he says the kingdom of God, Jesus said, is just like a little mustard seed. Then we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, there was some... If you read the preceding verses here, you'll find out there is a little bit of a dispute. Listen, if you're looking for a church that's never had a dispute, lots of luck, okay? The early church had disputes. The modern church has disputes. Churches have disputes. You know why the church has disputes? Because there are people in the church, and people oftentimes disagree. There was a dispute in the church, and they were arguing over who belonged to who and who, you know, so forth and so on. So, Paul addresses that, and he says, I planted the seed, because some people said I'm of Apollos, other people saying I'm of Paul. Paul says, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. Wow, that's powerful. I planted it, Apollos watered it, God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters it is anything. Paul he completely discredits himself right here. And Apollos. He said, neither one of us amount to anything. He said, but only God who makes things grow counts. Wow. I want to share with you this the next few minutes, and I promise I won't keep you very long. But I want to share with you this morning. Well, let me go on. I forgot I had more there to read. The one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and they will each be rewarded according to their labor. For we are co-workers in God's service. You are God's fields, God's building. I want to minister to you with the thought in mind, Kingdom Agriculture 101. Kingdom Agriculture 101. Now, everything that exists outside of God and the first day of creation, when God spoke creation into existence, if you would, had to have and does have a starting point. Okay? The beginning may be referred to as an egg or perhaps a spore, but in essence, all that exists comes from a seed. Without seed, plants, animals, mankind, and every living thing that we know that exists would cease. In other words, if we don't reproduce, whether it's animals, you know why dinosaurs cease to exist? They cease to reproduce. Anything that ceased to reproduce will cease to exist. Now, I know there's other factors in extinction. I'm not debating on it, but in practical terms. So actions must, the absence of seed results in extinction. I wrote this down. It's too much for me to remember in my mind. The absence of seed results in extinction. It is the reassurance of generations to come. Seed determines the lineage of a family. Actions and steps must be taken to assure that there will be future generations. I want to show you something real quickly. Ballard, come up here. Come up here, Ballard. Come up here and help me. Come on, I ain't no one to embarrass you. Already have, haven't I? Come on up here and help me, Ballard. He's got to get prepared. Ballard, come on up here and help me. Adam, come on up here and help me. Is Letty here this morning? She's not. Okay. Okay. All right. Scott, where's Scott? Scott, come on up here. Brendan, come on up here. Stand with these two guys. Y'all face those people. Scott, Chase, come on up here. Bring your boys. At least one, two, or all three of them. Bring them up here. You see, in these two cases, what we see, and I know the, well, Nathan, do you want to, have I hurt your feelings? You want to come up? You can come up if you want. Poor Nay-Nay, it's left out. But what you see, y'all switch places. So you're in order. You're in order. I'm OCD, okay? What you see, you have the eldest seed, the middle seed, the youngest. You have one generation. You have another generation. You have another generation. And someday this generation may have another generation. And you have this generation and this generation and Reese and his two brothers is another generation. And I was telling Scott, because they have another child that was just born, a grandchild born just a few days ago. And I said, you think about it. You all have potential. If all three of your kids, if they have three kids and those three kids have three kids, just think of how many grandkids, great grandkids you all are going to have. You may not want to retire, my friend. But you see, the seed is being passed from generation to generation and reassuring the Browning name is going to continue. The Morris name is going to continue. So it is the seed carries forth to the generation after generation after generation. Thank y'all for helping me out. So y'all can go on and sit down. I appreciate it so very much. So it ensures that there will be generation. Yeah, give them a hand. Generations to come. I want to share with you real quickly this morning. Time's running out. Five seeds of truth. The first seed that, oh man, I just lost all of my PowerPoint. The first seed of truth is seeds must be planted. Seeds must be planted. Listen, no harvest will ever be made if the seed is not taken out of the pack. Some of you may already have lettuce and onions out, okay? It won't be long before tater planting time, okay? A lot of people do that on Good Friday. Seeds must be planted because no harvest will ever be taken if the seed is not planted. The seed that is not planted, of course, will not grow. Proverbs 18:24 says, whatever we sow, we shall reap. If you don't sow anything, you will not reap anything. It's a promise. First thing, seeds must be planted. Second thing, seeds will be dormant for a time. There is a process that is called germinating. I was in FFA. Y'all didn't realize that. I learned all this stuff. No, we used to raise stuff and we still have some land. Not a whole lot, but we still have about 30 acres of land we don't do absolutely anything with. But I do have a little bit of knowledge of this. Seeds will lay dormant for a time. When you plant a seed, it doesn't instantaneously come up, does it? You have to wait on those tomato plants, those tomato seeds to germinate, and those little bitty, teeny, tiny little plants, usually with just one or two leaves on them, will bust up through the ground. You plant those beans and it takes several days for it's called a process of germination. Seed sprouts don't happen immediately, but they happen when the conditions become right. I was reading something in studying for this. I was reading, I found it was a report that was published in 2005 in National Geographic magazine. You all know that's the ones you look at when you're in the doctor's office. You pick it up and you look at all the pictures of all the African nations and Brazil and all like that. In the National Geographic magazine, June 2005 edition, it tells of a palm seed that was discovered on Mount Masada in 1960. Masada is the location of Herod's temple and is located in southern Israel, very dry, very desert. The report stated that that seed had been preserved, or if you would, it had laid dormant all those years because it had been kept warm and dry. But amazingly, when that seed, that ancient seed that was considered to be some 2,000 years old, when that circumstances were exactly right, when circumstances were prevailing, if you would, that seed that was 2,000 years old began to sprout. That means it's never died. It may have been dormant. It had been laying around probably on a shelf or in a jar or something for 2,000 years. But when conditions were right, that seed may begin to sprout. You may not ever see the seed that you plant and you sow on this side of eternity. But it's not what we see in this life that counts. You see, seeds that are sown in good faith are resilient. And I'm thinking along the lines of, we're thinking on this being Faith Commitment Sunday, the seeds that you sow financially, they're resilient. They're going to bring forth good works. But I want you to know this. You may have been dormant for a long time. You may have been waiting around for something to happen in your life for a long time. But it still hasn't happened yet. But when we give ourselves over to God and the time is right and the season is right and the soil is just right and the temperatures are just right and everything is working together, all of a sudden that seed will come forth, even if it's been laying dormant for a long time. So seed must be planted. A seed can lay dormant for a long time. Thirdly, A seed that is planted, I want you to think about this. A seed that is planted is never seen again. A seed that's planted, you don't see that seed anymore, do you? That seed will bust open from within side and reproduce itself, but the original seed is not seen again. You see, when we give of ourselves to God, it's not about us being seen again. It's not, and Paul was talking about that. He's talking about it doesn't matter, he said, what Apollos nor myself did. It's what God has done. And when we give of ourselves, and we give, if you would, we are the seed, and we don't necessarily, and we should not really, in essence, be seen again, but it's the yield of the seed that is seen. It's the plant. It's the fruit, if you would. The seed is planted with expectation of a yield. I've never planted a row of peas. I've never planted a row of beans. I've never dropped a slice of, because Daddy never planted whole potatoes. I never dropped a slice of potato, an eye of potato, in the ground with the expectation of ever digging it back up and seeing it again. But I did so with the expectation of seeing the fruit of the vine, if you would. To eat those creamy peas and young potatoes, you know, any of y'all ever eating those with a big old hunk of cornbread. I anticipated eating the beans. I anticipate whatever it was that I planted. So the seed is planted with the anticipation of the fruit that's going to come forth. We do so, we plant with the expectation of yield. The when, where, and how are the intentions of God. Fourthly, seeds, though hidden, require nurturing. You put a seed in the ground, you don't see it anymore. If you plant a seed in the ground and you go back and dig it up every day just to see how it's doing, you know what's going to happen? It's not going to yield anything. But when you put that seed in the ground and you just leave it there, you leave it there in faith. Hello? You leave that seed there in faith, but it requires nurturing, watering, maybe tilling, maybe a little, you know, hoeing, pulling out the weeds, protecting it from the pest, you know, putting up some fence and keeping the rabbits and stuff out. But as you nurture that seed, you care for that seed, it's certainly to bring forth the yield. Recall Psalms 24, I preached from there a few weeks ago. And the psalmist said, I went by the field of a sluggard, and behold, the briars had overtaken the field. God wants us to nurture the seed that we planted. He wants us to nurture the work that we've done. I tend to think of nurturing probably as being mostly encompassed in prayer. Prayer is the essential cultivation of any seed. Whether it's a financial gift that you're giving on faith commitment monthly, or whether it's something that you're doing in your personal life, it's something that you're doing in the kingdom purpose, whatever it may be, whatever we do, the seed that we sow, it's urgent and it's important that we cover it in prayer. Because prayer is cultivating and protecting the investment that we've made. Fifthly, the smallest seed yields so very much. We had a busy week. We're at Minister Summit this week, so I didn't have time to prepare it all, but I've done preached similar messages to this before, and I've given everybody, I've walked around and give everybody a mustard seed. Have you ever seen a mustard seed? A mustard seed's about the size of, if you find a large mustard seed, it's going to be about the size of a BB. Y'all know what a BB are? You know, I might get blocked off of Facebook for saying BB. They got me. They blocked me the other day. They knocked me off for saying something about a gun. But anyway, a BB. A BB are smaller, the size of a mustard seed. And that's what, in the scripture, that's what we find Jesus comparing the kingdom to. A mustard seed. But the smallest of seed yields so much fruit. I don't know if Jesus had that on his mind or not. Maybe he did, but I can't say that he did. But I did a little bit of investigation. I did a little calculation. And on the average, it takes 8 pounds of mustard seed to plant a whole acre of mustard. 8 pounds will plant a whole acre. That's how tiny they are. That's how minute and small they are. 8 pounds will plant an entire acre of mustard. The current typical rate of 8 pounds of mustard seed per acre is 895 pounds of mustard. So you take 8 pounds of seed, it yields 895 pounds, if you would, of fruit. That's 100 times more than what was planted. Let me tell you something. God has a plan of economy. If we will sow into the kingdom of God, whether it's of our finance, whether it's of our time, whether it's of ourself, if we will sow into the kingdom of God, He will bless and He will multiply. Listen, I'm not one of these cats that's going to tell you that you don't get rich quick and you don't have a black Escalade to drive to work next week. Even better than that, you don't have a black Escalade. And if anybody's got a black Escalade, I'm not picking on you this morning. But you might have a black Escalade and you ain't even going to have to drive to work because you don't be so blessed financially that you don't have to work anymore. I'm not one of those guys, but I will tell you this. If you will invest into the kingdom of God, He will bless you many times over. And blessings really can't be counted in dollars and cents and physical possessions. Paul taught us a lesson in 2 Corinthians 9 and 6 because there we find that Paul teaches the lesson He teaches, I call it, the principle of sparsity. Because the principle of sparsity, Paul teaches us that sparsity will only yield sparsity. If you sow little, you're going to reap little. But he counter teaches that with the principle of abundance. Because if you sow abundantly, you shall reap abundantly. So whether it's finances, whether it's your time, whether it, whatever it can possibly be in your life, however much you invest, that's going to determine what the return will be on your investment. That's good banking, isn't it, Scott? Yeah, Scott's sitting back there bobbing his head up and down. He's getting ready to retire. He ain't too worried about it anymore. So whatever we invest, whatever seed we plant, those are five principles that God will bring us the greater return. Because here's my conclusion. God is God. God is sovereign. He can do what He wills, when He wills, however He wills it to be done. Yet, but God chooses to use us. You've heard it, probably. If you've been around church any at all, you've heard it. You know, if you don't praise me, the rocks will cry out. You know, the church I pastored before coming here, sometimes it seems like that's only was like last year, but it's hard to believe that we're now in our 10th year here of Voice of Praise. But there was a rock that laid outside the church, my former pastor, and on that rock somebody had taken and painted it with a little paintbrush or something, and it said, either you praise him or I will. And I wasn't too crazy about that rock being there because it was a trip hazard, but I left it there anyway. And we've all probably heard that, and we've probably maybe even mentioned that illustration, but I want you to know what? There's some truth in that. There is all truth in that, actually. But here's the thing about it. God could work in any way. He could call for the rocks to praise Him, if need be. He could call for the trees to praise Him. He could call for any part of creation to praise Him, but yet He calls for us to. He could call for, here a while back, Sarah and I watched a Tarzan movie. Now Tarzan, or for the sophisticated people, for people like me that grew up in the country, it was Tarzan. Okay? A Tarzan movie, and how Tarzan could call for the animals. Well, it was Lord of the Jungle, I think. Was that the name of it? Lord of the Jungle. And he could call for the animals, his eight brothers and all that to come. And, God could call for the animals of the field to do anything he wants. He could call for the birds to do whatever needs to be done. But you know what? That's not what God chooses to do. What God chooses to do is call people just like you. And to call people just like me. To be the sowers of seed. Whether it's financial, whether it's of our time, whatever it is, it's called stewardship in reality. God calls us to carry forth the kingdom of God. He said, go forth into all the world. We're to make disciples of all nations. We're to make disciples. In another place, Paul taught, he said, go into Jerusalem, Judea and Samaria, and go into the uttermost parts of the world. Let me tell you something, from where Paul was standing, Jerusalem was the place. We can put that in this frame of mind right here in Blue Well this morning. The Lord's saying to us, go to Blue Well, Brush Fork, Bazavane, Falls Mills, Princeton, Green Valley, McDowell County, Tazewell County, Bland County, Nairobi, Kenya, East Sudan, Northern Europe, But God's called us to go into the nations, and that's what today is all about. As we set forth our faith commitment, and we go into all the nations. But let me tell you something. You've got a work to do right here at Blue Well. You got some seeds to be sown in Blue Well and into the uttermost parts of the earth. And I do too. But if we leave the seeds in the packet, we'll never see the harvest. If we plant little, we'll reap little. So this is Kingdom Agriculture 101. He utilizes us to grow His kingdom through our time, talent, and resources. We're both the seed and the sower. We are the dresser of the garden as well. You and I are the assurance that the great commission of carrying the gospel into all the world is carried forth to every person, every tongue, and every nation. That's Kingdom Agriculture 101. I don't know what happened to my slide. I did all that work for nothing, Sarah. Did you see that? Thank God for technology. That's Kingdom Agriculture. Will you be the seed that God wants to plant? Will you sow the seed that God wants to plant? And don't take this about money, just about money. You know, taking the gospel costs money. That's true. And the Lord's blessed us as a church because He's blessed us with you all. But it's also about your time. It's about your talents. It's about your gifting. And it starts right in front of you and covers the whole world. A number of years ago, in closing, John, if you want to come back to the piano, a number of years ago, there was a book that was written, and I don't really remember the author without looking it up, but the name of the book said, "The World is Flat." Y'all remember that from school? Columbus sailed. Why? Columbus sailed, my understanding, if I remember right, Columbus sailed the ocean blue because he set out to prove that the world wasn't flat. Because general consensus was, you'll go so far and you just fall off the edge of the earth. Was that what it was about? Is my memory right? Some of you older people tell me. Where's all my school teachers at? But Columbus, he sailed the ocean blue. You can sail around the world. We know that literally the world is not flat. It is round. It's a sphere. But a number of years ago, there was a book that came out that said, "The world is flat." And what the author meant in that book was that there's no part of the earth that we can't reach now. We're all on the same planet. Listen, I can promise you this. There's things that you may not know about Voice of Praise Worship Center. Of course, you know, most of you probably know we stream Facebook Live. Do you also know that we have an internet radio station here that Dave does it all. Dave does the computer and the computer does it all. And we broadcast 24 hours a day around the world. And it's not necessarily your traditional type of worship and gospel programming, but it's to reach the nations. The world is flat, not literally, but figuratively, the world is flat. We can touch lives of people that we've never been able to touch before because God has given us that faith. So I hope that you're planting your seed. I hope Kingdom Agriculture 101 settles in your spirit. Would you bow your head with me as we pray? Lord, as we come to you today, I thank you so much, Lord, for the opportunity to worship you. I thank you for the opportunity, Lord, to sow seeds into your kingdom, whether it's by spoken word, by deed, by financial giving, by helping another along the way. God, you've given me the opportunity to plant seed. And God, I just pray and I believe that today, Lord, as Paul was and the seed was planted and Apollos came along and did his work, God, it's you that brings the increase. So I pray that whatever we invest in, however we invest, but whatever our investment is, God, that you will bring increase to all that we do. And Lord, we bless you and we praise you today for the opportunity that we have to carry forth generations of believers born again by the Spirit through the power of the gospel. In Jesus' name, we give you praise. Amen and amen. If you keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed just a moment, please, before we leave today, I promise my friend Dallas Jewell, one of our older pastors, now gone on a long time ago, I'll never dismiss a service without giving opportunity for someone to give their heart to Jesus. If you're here this morning in this room and you've never been saved, or maybe you've drifted far away from the cross and you need to make your way back, today is a great day to do just that. I want to ask you to just lift up your hand. I won't embarrass you, but to say, Pastor, pray for me. Is there one person in this room?